following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz and today, Glenn Miller, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us. 458-8255, 458-TALK. What's on your mind about firearms today? It's New Year's Eve in Fairbanks. The sun is out. It's minus 6 degrees this morning here downtown. And Melissa is again expertly running the board. And remember, Melissa is keeping the Shooter's Corner archives up to date for us. So if you miss a program, it should be accessible within a day. I want to remind all of you who could not listen last week that we ran a pre-recorded program for our Christmas Eve Shooter's Corner session, and I read more chapters from Joe Nava's autobiography, Not Your Average Joe. I'll work through the book, reading it to you when we have holidays and I pre-record, but I don't want any of you to miss chapters. Now, Melissa will have last week's reading of Joe's book and the previous one from Thanksgiving in the archives for your enjoyment. Look for archive program dates November 26th and December 24th, 2020. Glenn Miller is here in the studio with us today, and Glenn has no end of interesting material on reloading topics to share with us. He has been traveling a month in the lower 48, and he can also give us an update on what our lower 48 citizens are experiencing with the ammunition and firearms shortages. So stay tuned. I'll turn the program over to Glenn in just a few minutes. First, I want to wish all of our listeners a wonderful new year. Outgoing 2020 has been one for the history books, for sure. With 366 days this year, we had that one extra day of madness. But we all made it through. A testimony to the toughness of all of you who are responsible firearms owners. So what should we celebrate on this December 31st? December 31st is National Champagne Day, I suppose, because people make New Year's Eve toast with champagne. But of course, no champagne toasts around firearms. So let's move on to another December 31st holiday. That's Make Up Your Mind Day. Listeners, quit wavering and take a side. Make up your mind what gun you want to buy next and stick with it. And if you can't satisfy your gun choice right away during this time of shortage, you can take comfort in that December 31st is also No Interruptions Day. No blaring TV, cell phone beeps, annoying advertisements on your computer, on and on. So what is one of the best ways to celebrate No Interruption Day? I think it is to reload ammunition. That's something we need peace and quiet for in order to concentrate. And so, with no further interruptions on this No Interruption Day, I'm turning this Shooter's Corner over to our reloading expert, Glenn Miller. Glenn, it is so glad to have you back in town and on the program.
Well, thank you, Laura. And it is great to be back in here on New Year's Eve. And wonderful way to finish off 2020,
yes.
And to be in here with you two lovely ladies and be talking about guns and reloading.
Isn't he sweet?
Yeah.
I can't think of a better way to end off 2020. And I even went and got a haircut a couple days ago.
So you look great. You look
my
great.
Best going into 21.
Yeah, yeah. You know? We have
to look good on the radio.
I hope listeners appreciate it. And we're here in the studio, and the curtains are drawn, and it's like...
It's for warmth.
Yeah.
You guys are always cold.
This time of the year, I like the curtains up so I can actually see the little bit of daylight that we have, but okay, it's nice to be warm also.
I did it for you.
So, it is great to be back here and talking about reloading, and probably none of this would be possible if it weren't for my dad that taught me reloading 45 years ago.
Okay.
So, just a thanks to Dad if you're listening today. You know,
great.
Thanks for taking the time to teach me about reloading, and also existing reloaders out there, do the same. Be a mentor. show reloading to those that may be interested and those that need some help, because it's a complex topic. And so people that are learning reloading appreciate your help also. And there's lots of people out there that are really experienced with reloading. And that's something that I really enjoy about doing this hobby, is there's always something to learn about reloading, regardless how long you've been doing it. There's always new things to learn. In fact, this summer when I was on the show, there was a caller that called in and told us about the Hand Loader magazine, which I really knew, I didn't know anything about. And since then, I've subscribed to that.
Great.
And there's some great articles in there. So thank you to whoever the caller was that called in and told us about that. So today's topics, we're going to
have... Oh, we have a caller.
Oh, already? Okay. Caller, this is Laura.
Yeah, so this might be a little off topic, but I was thinking, I think it was back in the mid-70s when they had, I think it was Remington had Sabot bullets, which were sub-caliber inside a Sabot, and they seemed to kind of disappeared. I remember I bought a box of them. It was a 223 and a 30-06 cartridge. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that. And can you reload those? Are they reloadable? And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Okay, thank you. And I don't know if they are reloadable. The Remington, they came out, they were called accelerators. That was the brand name of that ammunition that Remington came out with, and they were offered in a variety of calibers. And yeah, they have, I don't know if they still offer that or not. Where that has become very popular is in the muzzle-loading community, and they're using Sabo projectiles in muzzle-loaders. But as far as reloading goes, I've never seen any reloading data for that type of projectile and cartridge. So, but I'll do a little bit of research on that and get back to you on another show.
That was a great question. Thank you.
So today's topics, we're going to talk about dealing with reloading component shortages and news from component and ammunition manufacturers and what we can do during this current shortage. We're also going to talk about some different types of powder check dies, what they are, how they work, and why you should use one if you're running a progressive type of reloading press. And I also have a report and a review on some lighting systems for your reloading presses. These are lighting systems that illuminate the inside of your press, and they're really nice to use when you're reloading. And also, this is something that should interest all of you, getting a little bit more space on your reloading bench. There are quick change press mounting systems to keep your bench less cluttered and more functional, and I'll talk about those a little bit. And then if we have time, I'm going to talk about an update on the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearm Explosives position, an action on stabilizer or arm braces for pistol. There's been a lot of activity in this arena over the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So if we have time, I'll give you an update on that. But first, let's start with a safety tip on reloading. So recognizing it is New Year's Eve, and some of you may be starting to celebrate already. It's almost noon. and, you know, have your favorite beverage, or maybe you visited a local cannabis shop. I don't know. Whatever your pleasure may be, the important thing to remember is to call us and invite us over. We don't want you partying alone, right?
That's yes. Great.
So, Melissa's putting her coat on.
Yes, I am.
But seriously, remember to keep the dust cover on your reloading press. Just like firearms and alcohol don't mix, the same goes for reloading. Don't attempt any portion of your reloading process when you're under the influence of anything that impairs your judgment or distracts you. Just the other day, I was visiting a local gunsmith here in town that has an entire box of firearms that are literally exploded. They're in various states of, you know, catastrophic destruction from reloaded ammunition that wasn't done properly. Now, whether they were distracted, whether they just didn't understand, You know, whatever the case may be, the results can really be bad. And we're going to go to a break, and we will be right back.
These are dark times in Fairbanks. The sun rises late and it goes to bed early. Most of my driving is done in the dark these days, and I like to have as much light on the road as possible because hitting a moose can be disastrous. Like a lot of Auto Trim Design customers, I rely on moose lights to help me avoid smacking into a swamp monster. We professionally install Vision LED light cannons and LED light bars, also VLED and Pucco LED headlight replacements. Don't live in the dark. Let us light the way. Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
Getting out to play in Alaska is a year-round activity. So before you leave home, make sure your trailer is ready to roll. Wheel bearings to wiring and lights. Have it serviced at Arctic RV. Motorhomes, toy haulers, campers, bodywork to appliances. See their huge selection of RV parts as well. Alaska plays rough. Make sure you and your RV are ready for it with Arctic RV. Book your appointment now. Rough it in style. Arctic RV. Open all winter long at 30th and Pegger.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255, 458-TALK. And that was a good interruption from our sponsor on No Interruptions Day. And I'm going to turn the program back over to Glenn.
All right. So while we're talking about safety, I just wanted to mention that a couple weeks ago, Laura was talking to us about statistics on accidental shootings. And it's just a reminder that each of us are responsible for gun safety. And it doesn't stop at ensuring that your actions are safe. Be aware of what's going on around you and what others may be doing. Any of us that have attended an organized shooting event have heard the range briefings from a range officer that not only covers the safety rules, but emphasizes if you see anything dangerous to call for a ceasefire. And you don't have to be a certified range officer to do this, but most accidents don't occur at organized events because of the recognition of and strict adherence to safety rules. Most of these accidents happen in the home or in the field. And, you know, I think up here we've been pretty lucky, you know, hunting seasons. That's when a lot of this seems to happen. But when I'm in areas that hunting seasons are beginning, first day of deer seasons back, you know, like in Pennsylvania and Michigan and New York, places that have a high volume of hunters that are taken to the field and with limited space, it seems like there's a lot of accidents that occur. You hear about it a lot. And all of them could be avoided.
Yeah.
And so just a reminder that when you're with someone that may be handling a firearm improperly, don't ignore it. You know, we've kind of, I think all of us have done that. We see somebody doing something that's really silly and we kind of, you know, oh boy, let's get out of here. But don't ignore it. Let them know how they can handle the firearm safer. Emphasize the basic safety rules. And I know Laura tries to do this on every show, so I'm just going to, you know, have these reminders right now. And the first rule is always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. And the second is always keep your finger off the trigger until ready to shoot. And the third is always keep the gun unloaded until ready to use.
Yes.
And, you know, they're staged that way for a reason, because even if you forget two and three or you don't do the right things there, if you always remember one where it's always pointed in a safe direction, if you have an accidental discharge, at least the projectile is going to go somewhere where it's not going to hurt someone or do the least amount of damage.
Yeah, and can I interject one thing? Folks, there's so many kids home now. They're home from school. The parents are working. And I have had reports of kids being around firearms when they shouldn't have. Normally, we don't let anyone into our youth program in the middle of the semester because they've already missed half of it. But I had one grandmother call me, and her kid had been somewhere, and another child took out a firearm, and her child did not know, or her grandkid did not know how to react. And so we're doing a special case and giving that one person their own little private class and then letting them enter our program in the middle of the semester. So I just want to say that as parents, be aware that your kids are going to other people's houses maybe during the day when you're at work, and you don't necessarily know what's in that house. Maybe talk to those parents or make sure your kids have had a class and have had firearms training, that if there is a gun out, that child needs to call you and come home. Okay.
Thanks, Laura. And I know that during your concealed carry classes, one of the things that you really emphasize is storage and, you know, safes, whether they're large safes or smaller portable safes, to keep your firearms secured so that unauthorized people can't have access to them. So once again, responsibility of gun safety lies with all of us. And so I got a couple of quick announcements, and this is something that we've been working on for a while. And this is the status of the NRA Basic Metallic Cartridge Reloading class. And this is a class that will provide beginning reloaders with the knowledge, skills, and attitude necessary to safely reload metallic cartridges. The class is approximately 8 hours in length. It's developed by the NRA and will be taught by a certified NRA instructor. To offer this class, many people have been working on acquiring all the necessary equipment, accessories, components, and other logistics of assembling an NRA-accredited class. And the good news is we have the first class scheduled for January 30th, and this is at the Hunter Education Indoor Shooting Range. And this class is currently reserved for semi-internal applicants who will attend and help us further refine the class before they're open to the public. But this is, once again, it's focused on metallic cartridges. In the future, we're probably going to add a shotgun component to that also, so we're currently working on that now. These classes will be fully open to the public sometime probably in March or April timeframe, and those interested in signing up can do so by going to the AIMCOM website, and I'll give you that website. It's www.aimcomm.org. So look for that in the near future, and I really want to thank everybody involved in putting this together and making this happen. Laura has helped immensely, John Wyman over at the range, and a lot of members on the AIMCOM board. So it's been a group effort, and this is something I think is really going to be valuable to the community, because I don't think there's anything like that out there right now, at least an NRA-certified reloading class.
And I have to say, Glenn is going to be the instructor.
And looking forward to that.
He's going to be, and I'm going to take it twice. I'm going to take this first because it's reloading and I'm probably going to have to hear everything twice. And so I'm going to take the initial one where we sort everything out, and then I'm going to take it again, and I'll let all of you know when I'm going to take it again, and maybe some of you would like to take it with me. So that'll be in the future.
All right, so let's talk about a few new, there's some loading manuals, new loading manuals that are out on the market. The first one is, it came out in 2019, but it's relatively new on the market now. It's the Sierra 5th Edition Loading Manual. I have some Sierra loading manuals. I don't use them as much as others. I find others a little bit easier to use and the data easier to read. But that one is out there. And speaking of really good manuals, the Lyman 50th edition, which came out in 2016, so it's been out a few years now. This is a really excellent manual. It's well laid out, easy to read. But the newest one is a Nosler number 9 loading guide. And this is 800 pages covering 101 cartridges, including some of the newest calibers that are out there. And this was just released this year. So that's, and the Nosler manuals have been really valuable ones. I use those quite a bit. And as you've heard me say before, I'm a fan of having as many recognized reference materials on hand as possible, because there's no one single reloading manual that will provide you with all the information that you need to develop and load a variety of calibers. with different powders and bullets. Plus, keeping current on new loading developments is important as new powders, new bullets are introduced, and current components are updated. New loading manuals aren't released all that often. They go for many years before a manufacturer will release a new loading manual. So spending the $25 or whatever that is, it's well worth the money compared to your total expense of all your reloading equipment. And I know, Laura, a couple of shows ago, we talked about loading manuals, and I told you about these loading manuals that are specific for a caliber.
Oh, yeah.
And this is an example of one here. It's for the 300 Winchester Magnum, but it's they take loading data from all the other manufacturers, and they put it together in one book for a specific cartridge. And you can get those manuals for just about any popular cartridge. But if you have an extensive library of different manuals, it's really, you're duplicating the information.
So this is copyright by Load Books, LOAD Books, USA. Where can they get these? Okay.
Well, I used to see them at Sportsman's Warehouse. This one here I picked up at Cabela's, and I used to see these at Sportsman's Warehouse, and I haven't seen them over there in a while, so I don't know if they still carry them.
Okay. Well, if you're looking online for them, Load Books USA is the company that's putting these out. So I'll take a look. This is
great.
Nice.
And, you know, in addition to loading manuals, one thing that as a reloader you should be doing is starting to build your own library of data materials, meaning for your specific guns. As you build loads, as you chronograph those loads, you should be storing that information somehow. I have a variety of books that I've put together over the years of all the data. So if I want to go back and look at, you know, my Remington 700 and 300 Winchester Magnum or a pistol or a revolver, I can go and I can look up what loads work well in that particular handgun or rifle, along with the chronograph data. So it's kind of tailored information. And I know I've talked about this before also, but with the new chronographs, especially the lab radar, all that information is stored on a card. Of course, then you can transfer that to your computer on a spreadsheet, and it's real easy to start developing that information and have it highly organized. So it's something else that you should be doing as a reloader. So let's move on to the ammunition and reloading component shortage. You know, unless you've been living in a cave the last 6 months, you know that ammunition and reloading components are extremely difficult to find. And it's starting to affect shooting events like the USPSA, Bullseye Leagues. Laura, I know you're involved in a number of things, including the youth shooting program, and I know you do scores for the Bullseye League and shoot that. What are you seeing as far as attendance goes?
The Bullseye League, right now, I think we're getting towards the end of the people. People have a supply. So if you're a bullseye shooter, it's a lifetime commitment, and they have a bit of supply. But for the new people, it's difficult. And we try to let everyone know where they could get ammo. We help each other out. If we have extra ammo, we'll just give them a box. But I think if this goes on much longer, some of the old-timers that haven't stocked up enough are going to run out. It's specifically and severely affected our youth program. We almost didn't have a youth program. I was able to piggyback on with a range order. We did not get the best 22, but we got it. But I had to pay for that out of my pocket. So that was close to $5,000. We need about 78,000 rounds. We weren't able to get enough, so we're having to limit what the kids can shoot. But literally, if I couldn't have gotten that, we would not have a youth program at all. And I think Glenn may talk about this later. We're seriously considering, we've wanted to do this for a long time, but why are we even dealing with these ups and downs? We should have the air pistols and the air rifles too, because with the air pistols and the air rifles, pellets. Hopefully there won't be a pellet shortage. We can also participate in what was in the old days, the postal matches. The Orion electronic system and the CMP has for air. You can send in your scores from across the nation, and they'll score you up against everyone else participating, and that would give our youth a chance to participate on a national level without leaving Fairbanks. So it has severely impacted our youth program. It's also going to severely impact our teaching. I wanted to put family NRA basic pistol and rifle classes together. I have not even attempted to do it because we simply cannot get the ammunition to do it with. So there's a whole year there that's lost.
And it's not unique to Fairbanks. When I was in the lower 48, we saw quite a bit of that, and components are very difficult along with ammunition. So I think we're going to go to a break, and we will be right back.
You can now find the legendary KFAR on the FM dial at 97.5 in full stereo.
Fox News, I'm Ann Carrick. People expecting a COVID-19 vaccine get something else entirely. Fox's Eben Brown.
The West Virginia National Guard says 42 individuals they believed were getting coronavirus vaccine actually instead received doses of Regeneron's antibody therapy. While doctors say the error won't put patients at risk, those 42 people did not actually get vaccinated and will be offered the actual vaccination in the near future.
The drug is intended for those already sick with coronavirus. President Trump returns to the White House earlier than planned.
The White House gave no reason for the change in plans, but the move comes after Republican Senator Josh Hawley announced he will object to certifying Electoral College votes during a joint session of Congress next week. The Hill reports a New Year's Eve gala and Mar-a-Lago will go on as planned without the president's usual attendance.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's January shipment of COVID-19 vaccine will include nearly 53,000 new doses from Pfizer and Moderna. That's about 7,000 less than the amount received in December, but close to what was expected. Health officials didn't exactly say when the doses will arrive, but it will likely be early in the new year. These vaccine doses come on top of shipments of the required second doses of each vaccine, which will also be shipped out next month. The state is currently finalizing recommendations from its advisory committee that will determine which Alaskans to include in the next round, Phase 1B of COVID-19 vaccination, and plans to share those decisions with the press and the public on Thursday. According to a national tracker, Alaska has the third highest per capita vaccination rate in the country. And finally, two people are dead after a house fire early Wednesday morning. The Ketchikan Fire Department arrived to smoke and flames after receiving a report around 4:49 a.m. on Wednesday. Dispatch personnel advised KFD that there may be a person trapped inside the home. A third individual was able to escape the building and is with family. The fire was determined to be cooking related, according to Fire Investigation Task Force investigators, and no foul play is suspected.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
These are dark times in Fairbanks. The sun rises late and it goes to bed early. Most of my driving is done in the dark these days, and I like to have as much light on the road as possible because hitting a moose can be disastrous. Like a lot of Auto Trim Design customers, I rely on moose lights to help me avoid smacking into a swamp monster. We professionally install Vision LED light cannons and LED light bars, also VLED and Punco LED headlight replacements. Don't live in the dark. Let us light the way. Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
Back in the Gold Rush days, prospectors flooded into the interior to make their fortunes in the shiny yellow metal. It was hard work. Tools and supplies were shipped up by riverboat, then out to the mines on rough-cut trails. There was a lot of waiting involved. Nowadays, all you have to do is walk into Century Hardware. That's how it works. You need a tool? Century has it. No waiting involved. You get your job done. Fast. Century Hardware. What you need? Right now.
Ride into winter with a friend. Your Snowway snowplow. Snowway plows are stronger, smarter, the most reliable plow in the industry. Their wireless controls eliminate messy dash installations and provide the ultimate in-cab flexibility. Better yet, Snowway's patented down-pressure hydraulics increase your plowing efficiency by 30%. The drive-in mount system hooks up in seconds, and their structural plow warranty is the best in the business. Stop by Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer on Dale Road near the airport, or call 479-6665.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz and Glenn Miller, KFAR Radio. Please call in 458-8255. 458-TALK. We're talking about all things reloading and anything else that's on your mind. Glenn?
Yes, and so we were just talking about the ammunition and reloading component shortage. And so one of the things that everybody wants to know when this is going to be over. When are we going to be able to buy ammunition and components? And, well, we all want to know that. But, you know, I guess to better understand that, it's useful to know why we're in this situation and, you know, what led to this current shortage. But, you know, we still have this pandemic happening, and when that rolled out, you know, that created global uncertainty. And anytime there's uncertainty in the world or in the nation, people are looking for means of security, and that led to, you know, ammunition and firearm sales. And, you know, we saw major civil unrest this year in major cities and from protests and rioting and, you know, this whole thing with the George Floyd death and the fallout from that and cities across the nation. And there were a lot of security concerns about that. And that resulted in a lot of people going out, purchasing firearms, buying ammunition to try to keep themselves safe.
All right. Caller, this is Laura and Glenn.
Hello, Glenn. I got a question for you in regards to headspace. I'm used to reloading for bolt guns and fire forming my brass. And I'm just starting to work up some loads for a 308 and a delayed blowback system. Can I expand that headspace out some as long as I keep an eye on the pressures?
Well, yeah, obviously the least amount of headspace that you have, the better it's going to be for accuracy and brass length. And there are ways that you can check to determine how much headspace you have in that particular chamber so that you can size your cases appropriately. There are tools that are designed for that Hornady makes. But you can also do it by using just size cases in the bullets that you're going to use and seating it and, you know, then measuring that overall length. But you have to use that specific bullet. But in any situation, you know, we try to have as little headspace as possible to reduce the wear on the brass to make that brass last longer. And typically it results in better accuracy also.
Yeah, my concern would be the blowback system, whether I'm going to have an extraction problem on the cases.
Yes, and that, you know, when you have a system like that, sometimes you do require a little bit more headspace to allow for proper functioning. So it's, once again, you know, that's going to be a trial and error on that particular gun. And, of course, you know, keeping an eye on pressures with the typical signs.
Sure. All right. Well, I sure appreciate your program, and thank you for the information.
You bet. Thanks for listening. So back to these things that were kind of leading up to the shortage, you know, anytime we have a presidential election, anytime we have potential candidates that are running for office that could implement any type of gun control measures, there's always this seems like there's this panic buying of firearms, ammunition, reloading components. We've seen this before. We'll see it again. But this, once again, you know, with this presidential election, this is something that was a major concern for people. Excuse me. And, you know, then we have manufacturing facilities that were impacted by COVID-19. Their policies, employee illnesses really hindered their abilities to fully staff workstations. So, you know, that was a reduction in the amount of ammunition that they were making.
We have another caller.
Okay, caller. This is Glenn and Laura.
an old time question. I've seen trappers that had a little handheld press that you could put a bullet in a shell casing and replace a primer on the trail or in the cabin or without having any heavy duty ammo and stuff. I just wonder if there's still something like that available, if they make a kit with all those components in it for small type reloading stuff.
And they do. I believe Lyman still makes a small one like that. There are probably other manufacturers that make those portable type presses. They do work well. They're very slow, but if that's all the space that you have available to you, yes, they do work and they're still available.
Okay, that's a good question. And if you're in your cabin, you can use them. All right.
So, the shortages that we're seeing, it wasn't limited to just ammunition and powder and primers. And, you know, you look at all the things that we were short of this year. You couldn't get cleaning supplies, particle masks, toilet paper, you know. I notice in your restroom there's like cases of it. Do you hire a security guard to keep an eye on that?
Oh, we stocked up. Oh, yeah, we stocked up. Well, you never know when that stuff's going to come back. So, people went crazy about the toilet paper.
Yeah.
You know, try to find canning supplies, jars and lids.
Oh, yeah.
Freezers were another thing. Various construction materials, paints. The meat and pork supplies were threatened, if you remember that, this summer.
Snow machines in Fairbanks currently.
Snow machines and four-wheelers, right. I mean, the list goes on and on. So it's not just ammunition and, you know, reloading components. It's everything. But manufacturers of all sorts now are coping, and now ammunition and reloading component manufacturers, they're producing more products than ever before, including ammunition and raw components for reloading. They're trying to keep up with the demand, and they're dealing with filling massive back orders. Representatives from Hornady, CCI, Hodgdon Powder Company, they're all releasing statements attesting to the full manufacturing processes that are occurring, and they're just attempting to keep up with the demand. There's a significant backlog of orders for ammunition alone that will most likely take a year to fill. There was, I think, the CEO of Vista Outdoors Holding Company issued a statement about a month ago stating that they have a $1 billion order, basically, that will take a year to fill, and that's just for ammunition. So that's not good news for the short term. And, of course, whatever components hit the shelves now, they don't last long. Consumers are buying them up quickly. I was in Sportsman's a couple days ago. They had some 9mm ammo and 22 ammo, and it was gone in a couple hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is what we're going to continue to see. And we were just talking about this during the break, but the estimates indicate nearly 12 million firearms were purchased in the first 7 months of 2020. And that's up more than 70% from 2019. And that number is likely to include about 5 million new gun owners. And those numbers would probably be higher if dealers and manufacturers could have kept up with the demand. And if you just consider those 5 million new gun owners, if they just bought two boxes of ammo each, that means an additional 500 million rounds of ammo have just been depleted from the shelves. And that doesn't include the additional ammo that existing gun owners are probably buying as a result of the escalating civil unrest and pending election.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot going on that's very complex that's leading to this. And this shortage is probably going to last a while. And it's going to be determined by future buying volume, which, of course, is influenced by factors still in existence, like the pandemic and the election results. Who knows what's going to happen there and, you know, potential fallout with that and future civil unrest. So I don't think we've seen the end of that. But during the shortage, there's some precautions that reloaders should take. One, beware of components for sale through unknown sellers. there's people that are selling things now that have been sitting around for a while. Maybe, you know, a family member used to reload and there's powders and primers that are sitting around and they think, you know, this is a good way to get rid of it. Now on GunBroker, there's a lot of components that are up for sale, but they're extremely expensive. And when you're buying things from an unknown seller, you don't really know the quality of the product that you're getting. And, you know, when you're dealing with reloading components, especially the powder and primers, you really want to know what you're getting. Another thing to do is start inspecting bullets that you receive closely and do a little bit more QA, meaning weighing them, even from commercial manufacturers. I'm starting to see some significant problems with that because of the manufacturing problems and stress that they have. We're going to go to a break and we'll be right back.
These are dark times in Fairbanks. The sun rises late and it goes to bed early. Most of my driving is done in the dark these days, and I like to have as much light on the road as possible because hitting a moose can be disastrous. Like a lot of Auto Trim Design customers, I rely on moose lights to help me avoid smacking into a swamp monster. We professionally install Vision LED light cannons and LED light bars, also VLED and Pucco LED headlight replacements. Don't live in the dark. Let us light the way. Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
Getting out to play in Alaska is a year-round activity. So before you leave home, make sure your trailer is ready to roll. Wheel bearings to wiring and lights. Have it serviced at Arctic RV. Motorhomes, toy haulers, campers, bodywork to appliances. See their huge selection of RV parts as well. Alaska plays rough. Make sure you and your RV are ready for it with Arctic RV. Book your appointment now. Rough it in style. Arctic RV. Open all winter long at 30th and Pegger. Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Mostly sunny with a high near zero today, partly cloudy, lows around 6 below tonight. As we look at New Year's Day tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 1 above, lows cooling off a bit, back around 15 below tomorrow night. And into the weekend Saturday, calling for mostly sunny, highs near minus 10, lows around minus 24. And Sunday, partly sunny with a high near negative 14, lows getting colder around 28 below Sunday night.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz and today, Glenn Miller. KFAR Radio, call in 458-8255-458-TALK. Ask Glenn any questions you want to about reloading or really any other firearms topics. Glenn?
All right. And during the break, I thought my ear phone must be broken. I heard 28 below. Was that right?
That's right.
Oh, okay. All right. So it is working, right?
You know, Alaska weather, it changes like every 12 minutes. So just give it 12 minutes.
Because it has been really nice.
28.
Give it 12 minutes.
So I was talking about bullets, and I've noticed that recently some of the bullets that I've been receiving, whether the plated bullets or molly-coated bullets, I've noticed that I'm getting quite a few bullets that are deformed. They have blemishes, defects, and I think it's because they're really trying to keep up, and maybe their QA is not as good as it was in the past, just trying to keep up with volume. So be careful with that. Start looking at those bullets, especially if they're bulk bullets, and make sure they are what they're supposed to be. And then last, be especially wary of unsealed powder containers. I see these things showing up now at gun shows and primers that are in Ziploc baggies. And, you know, you just don't know what you're getting when you get something like that. And, you know, you don't know the quality of the powder. You don't know how long it's been sitting around, how it's been stored. And frankly, you don't even know if the powder that's in that container is the one that's supposed to be in that container.
Right.
And that could be really catastrophic. So just, you know, times of the shortages, be wary of where you're getting your components from. And so, you know, really, what can we do during these shortages? And even though it probably means we're going to be doing less live firing, But there are things that we can do. And the first thing is, and I've talked about this before, dry practice. You know, we can do some more dry practice work with our firearms. And most people really underestimate the value and benefits of dry practice. If you perform that properly, dry practice will give you the highest skill building return versus cost of any other methods of practice because it costs you nothing but your time. You already have the equipment and just utilize it. And I know sometimes it's not the most fun to do that, but there are things that you can use to enhance that, kind of like the laser training tools that are out there. They really help give you feedback when you're doing dry practice. And it makes dry practice a little less dry. So, and it's fun, and they're good training tools.
Yeah, I find it peaceful. I enjoy dry practice, and I'm doing it for a reason. It helps build my muscles, calms me down, gets rid of the shakiness, and I feel like I'm accomplishing something. I can watch that front sight or watch that red dot and make sure there's no movement at all.
And
very
even,
valuable.
Yeah, and even when I do live fire practice, I always begin with dry practice, and I end with dry practice. And it's really a helpful tool for me. It has been, and that's why I emphasize other people do it. The other thing that you could do is airsoft guns. You can nearly duplicate all of the functions of your existing firearms by using one or more of the large varieties of airsoft guns available today. They're realistic in weight, size, feel, function, and they provide really valuable training options, especially for action shooting. And there have been times where I have been shooting in matches shooters are shooting teams from other countries that they don't have access to firearms like we do. Some of the Asian countries, for example, they have to keep their firearms stored in a locker in a gun range. They can't even take them home with them. And talking to them and seeing how well they were shooting, I was amazed how well they shot, considering they don't have access to their guns that often. That was their solution. They use airsoft guns. And they actually only did live fire training like once a month because ammunition was expensive. It was hard to access their firearms. And they were excellent shooters. So airsoft guns is a really good way to do that. Something to be aware of whether you're using air rifles or air pistols or even airsoft, be aware of some of the local gun laws because, in municipalities and cities, sometimes they're more restrictive and they look at those type of, air pistols or air rifles as a firearm. So be aware of that if you're going to do that. And, of course, Laura already kind of talked about air rifles and pistols and the options that are available there. But something else that you can do is upgrade your reloading systems right now. You know, at times that you're not doing a lot of reloading, take the time to perform some reloading bench upgrades or reloading system upgrades that you've been thinking about. Service your press and associated gear. Do brass preparation chores like sorting, cleaning, inspecting cases, and getting them ready for loading. This is the stuff that I really don't like doing, but, this is a good time to do that when you're not actually doing any reloading. You can also take the time to do some upgrades on your firearms that you've been thinking about, accessories like triggers and, sights. And I think we have a caller.
Yep, we have a caller.
Great.
Caller, Glenn and Laura.
Hey, could you have your guest explain what might possibly happen if you do get some powder that's been open for a while and if you get some old primers? What were the problems that caused that? And I'll listen on the radio.
Absolutely.
So my biggest concern, the primers, sometimes if you – just because they're old, it doesn't mean that they're bad. If you've acquired powder or primers from a secondhand buyer, you don't know how they were stored. If they were stored under high heat conditions or high humidity conditions, they can become unreliable. The powder can become unstable. You can typically look at it. You can smell it. Sometimes they'll off-gas. Sometimes the container will get stained. So these are all things you want to look at with the powder. And another big concern is if the powder has been mixed with another type of powder. I've seen people accidentally do this, where they dump powder out of a powder hopper into a container that they have on their bench. Maybe they have a couple of containers sitting on the bench, which you shouldn't do, and they dump it in the wrong container. So now you have mixed powders that can become really dangerous. But the storage is a concern. And of course, what you actually have in that container becomes a concern too. So I'm always very, very wary about picking up used powder, especially that's opened, that someone has used already, and primers that are not in their original container. You just don't know, are they Magnum, or are they standard primers? You know, you can always see if they're large or small, you can measure that. But if they're not in their original containers, I really stay away from them.
And when you use the term unstable for the powder, what exactly do you mean by unstable?
Well, powders, when they start to deteriorate, you never know how they're going to react. They have burning rates that they're supposed to burn at, and when they start to deteriorate, that burning rate can change significantly, creating dangerous pressures in the cartridge.
Okay. And the other thing I was thinking of when you were talking, I used to use some art materials, and what dawned on me years ago as I was doing this is so the same thing would happen with reloading. If you're going to test your loads and you're using materials that you don't know where it came from, and it's old and you can't get the same materials again, you're sort of wasting your time in being able to measure that and recreate it.
That's true. And sometimes you have to start over. Yeah. And especially now, let's say you have a load that's developed with a certain powder and a certain primer, and you can't get those particular components, well, you're starting over.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality of it.
Having done that with another material, I would not suggest doing that. You will spend a lot of time spinning your wheels.
So, and I hope I answered your question. So getting back to, you know, the things that we can do, you know, your firearms, there's a lot of upgrades that we can be doing right now, working on our different guns that we use a lot. You know, how about actually cleaning them once in a while? I know I do that once in a great while. I know Laura's very good about cleaning all of her firearms.
Glenn doesn't clean them until he stopped working.
Well,
maybe not that bad.
Well, then, no, that is true. Some of my competition guns, I don't do that if I'm going to a match, but if they're in practice, I'll just keep shooting them until they stop working, and then I'll stop and actually clean them. But, you know, part inspections, you know, this complete disassembly of guns that you use a lot, it's good to do and inspect the parts and replace them, like recoil springs and semi-automatic firearms. You know, they have a lifespan. They're only good for a certain amount of cycles, and you should replace them. So,
and is that per gun, or is that a general rule? And what would you suggest if it was a general rule?
It's basically based on either the spring manufacturer or the individual firearm manufacturer. They'll have you know, life cycle of those springs. Mm-hmm. Even these carry guns today, these small carry guns, you know, they'll have a lifespan of the number of cycles that should be replaced, because it starts to sacrifice reliability.
Right. Okay. I was wondering, and so you follow that pretty much?
Well, yes, I do.
Yeah.
But my competition guns, I usually start running them more than I should, and then I start to have problems, you know.
Yeah.
Usually it's a recoil spring problem.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, this shortage, it's probably not going to end anytime soon, but it will end. And when that happens, don't have a short memory, you know.
Yeah.
Go out and you know, start to stock up on the things that you ran short of during this shortage, and have them on hand for the next time, because there will be a next time. It's going to happen.
Hoard everything so we have another shortage.
No, don't hoard it. Just don't have a short memory.
Okay, we have a minute left?
Yep.
Okay, Glenn, I want to thank you so much. This is so valuable. I learn a lot every time you're on the program. And I know there was a lot of things you didn't even get to.
These
powder check charges. So what I want to tell everyone is to join us next week. We're going to have a varied program, some short topics on equipment, more about statistics, firearms accidents, and statistical reporting for children. That is very interesting, where those statistics came from. And I will also start talking about statistics on public carry and concealed carry. For history, next week we'll talk about the Battle of Bataan, which started on January 7. And I want to say from Melissa, Glenn, and myself to all of our listeners, we want you to have a great New Year's Eve and all of the best in 2001. I certainly have appreciated all of your listening to our program. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.